Soulful.
Welcome to the Higher Self Activation Podcast. My name is Ligia, and I'm here to help you find trust, let go of control, and see more aligned results with less hustle. We will bring the cosmos and multidimensional consciousness into the here and now, making energy tangible and easy to understand. Now let's get started with today's episode. So today I'm here with Yolanda, who is a money and mindset coach. But let me start by asking you, Yolanda, something that I loved that you shared with me, how you are the money relationship guru, because I want this episode to be all about. So sharing more how we can bridge what the higher self activation is all about, right? That is bridging the spiritual and the practical. How we can bridge the spiritual, woo-woo, energetics approach with the tangible things and taking action and being here as physical beings, right? So I love when you bring in the relationship aspect when it comes to money. Can you share a bit more about that and how you see that relationship with money being the foundation when it comes to manifesting money?
Yeah, I love this question because I feel like I say all the time, I love money. And, you know, it either triggers people in a wrong way, or it's like, they're like, oh, yeah, I love that. You know, because so often we're taught that money is like evil, or, you know, the love of money is evil. And I think people misinterpret, like, I'm not asking you to worship your money. I'm not asking you to bow down to money, but the reality is most people are putting money on an energetic pedestal. And so what happens is then they place themselves down below that. And so they don't feel that they align energetically with money, which is why it comes so hard for them. So it's all about having a relationship with your money, knowing that you're supported, knowing that it's there for freedom, for options in your life, and to help, you know, those that you love as well. But ultimately, my biggest belief is that it always comes back to us and how we view ourselves. Like, are you worthy of massive success and fulfilling all of your dreams? Well, of course you are. Why wouldn't you be? So that's where I talk about the relationship, the money relationship guru. Like, I want people to have a positive relationship with their money. And, you know, you're not worshiping it, but you're creating more by loving it and allowing it to come in.
Yes, I love that. I love that. And it's so true. It's one of the biggest shifts for me. Something that really resonated was when I first heard, you know, show up for your money as if it's a partner in a romantic relationship. So if money is your husband, your boyfriend, or whatever partner, your girlfriend, if money was that partner, how are you showing up in the relationship, right? Because most times something that I experienced was I was neglecting my bank account, because in my head I was coming from that belief that money is stressful to manage. So I don't even when I open my bank account and go into the numbers, it's like, ugh, no. So I was neglecting, and that triggered so much when I heard, oh, what if money was your boyfriend? How would you be showing up in that relationship? And that would be me showing up once every couple of months to say a little, hey, by the way, you suck and you stress the fuck out of me. Bye. And that's not really a healthy relationship, is it?
No, not at all. And you know what's funny is I actually just had a conversation with a client the other day that told me she hates checking her mail because all she ever gets is bills. Look at it that way. Of course, why would you want to attract more money? Because then you associate it with more bills. And instead of being grateful for the bills and, like you said, having a relationship like you have with your boyfriend, like, you want to date your money too, you know, like have money dates. I have like a money routine that I do on Monday mornings where you know, I'm journaling about what I'm calling in into my business, how I'm going to serve others by doing the work that I do, and then dancing to a song that's all about money. And then I like to get, House of Intuition has these money candles. I like to get those and then set my intention and let those burn for a few weeks. But yeah, I mean, you truly have to have, it's a fine balance, you know, like you don't want to go too deep, but you don't want to go too far. It's like knowing that you can check your balance and knowing that you're always supported, like your bills are always being taken care of. You're always there for your money and it's there for you. And this sounds kind of, you know, kind of weird in the beginning to some people because they're not used to having this kind of relationship, but that's why a lot of people steer clear of money and they convince themselves that they don't need it or they don't want it because they don't feel worthy of managing it. Or those that don't feel worthy of managing it properly, it's like they want to spend it immediately, like they have a hole in their pocket because it's like, well, what am I supposed to do with this, you know? And it's all about just being comfortable with being in its presence. So whether that means, you know, carrying a few dollars in your wallet that you don't spend, or having some money on your desk while you work, like just being comfortable with that relationship.
I love that. And being comfortable with a relationship is also not the other extreme, that it's you're not neglecting, but you're obsessed and you're checking on it every single minute to see how it's doing, to see if it's going down, to see if it's going up, because that's attachment. There's so much resistance there also.
Yeah, I was going to say that's huge resistance. And when we have a fear of something, then, you know, we're of course sending lack, and we can't attract more if we're looking at it from a point of view of lack. So it's like asking yourself why you're worthy of actually obtaining financial success. Like so many people worry about the person that they're going to become if they have a ton of money. And the reality is money is going to expand who you already are. So if you're a good person doing good deeds for people, then that's going to expand that. Money isn't going to turn you into this like werewolf vampire person. So just knowing that it's going to amplify your good and you're bad. So if you have, you know, I always say, like, if you have a bad habit, you definitely want to take care of that before you call in more money. And that's all about, of course, going back to the shadow work and working through our inner shadow.
Right. And that reminds me of something that I read recently. I don't remember which book. I think it was A Happy Pocket Full of Money. I love that book. And they were saying, yeah, talking about the habits, like you just said, and how a habit is a habit and how you're going to show up in that relationship with money, regardless of the amount. So if you want to start cultivating certain habits with money, start now and don't wait till the amount is whatever, 6-figure, 5-figure, 7 figures. And then I will start doing that. So if it's giving, I want to start giving to charity. If you're not comfortable giving $10 now, you might have $1 million in your bank account. You're most likely not be comfortable then, right? Because it's not really about the amount. It's about how you feel in that exchange. And that resonated so much.
Yeah. And, you know, in NLP, I don't know if anybody's familiar with neuro-linguistics programming. You know, we all have a process for everything that we do. So we have a process when we purchase something that our brains go through, and it's the same if we're spending a dollar or if we're spending $500 or if we're spending $1,000, like whatever it is, we go through that same process. So if you're not happy with your process now, you're definitely not going to be happy with your process later. So yes, definitely starting to work on the habits that you feel that you could improve on. We always think that there's a different destination. When I do this or when I have this, then, but then never comes, because you get to that point and then you convince yourself of, oh, well, okay, well, when I do this now, you know, and the target is always then moving if you're basing it off of a point that you're going to get to.
The solution is not a different number. And that's what I feel it's a big thing when it comes to manifesting money, that we can get so fixated in an amount, the 10K months in the coaching industry or whatever money goal you might have, that we focus on that number and we forget the whole vibrational resonance, actually, and what that means energetically and what that means for your mindset. It's not the number. The number is not going to fix anything if you have the same process, like I said, if it didn't work in your process. I love that.
Exactly. And you know, it's funny because when people come to me in the beginning, like, you know, they see my stuff, they're like, oh, she's all about manifesting money and she's the money relationship guru. And then they're confused when I tell them, okay, this week I want you to manifest a call from someone you love, or this week I want you to manifest a free cup of coffee, or this week I want you to manifest finding a penny. They're like, what? What does this? And it's like, it's the process of getting familiar, proving to yourself that you are powerful, that you are worthy of calling in everything that you want. But if you can't call in something small, you're not going to be able to call in something big. It's the small wins that we celebrate and that we honor ourselves with that help amplify and increase our energy to call in the larger amounts and feeling worthy of those.
And I love where this conversation is going, because we're getting into the energetics and something you said in the beginning, how in your money ritual, when you're showing up for your money and doing the mindset work, you're also dancing to a high vibe song that talks about money. You're lighting candles. So it's not only writing affirmations or setting your goals and writing them down. How do you see the energetics when it comes to that routine and how you show up for money, and how do you infuse the energy in it?
Yeah, you know, I love that you just said affirmations, because people, well, I'm doing my affirmations and it's not working. Well, if you don't deep down like what's energetically blocking you, then you're not going to be able to, you know, change things with an affirmation. That's just unrealistic. So yeah, it's moving the body and to a song about money with the lyrics like, oh yeah, I love money. I can feel it. Like, I'm worthy of receiving, and just dancing and moving around and raising that vibration. And then also having the intention, you know, I set the intention on the candle, and intentions are just energy that we're focusing on, you know? So if you're focusing on, yes, I'm calling this in, but then you're also reiterating to yourself that money is not above you. And that's where I say a lot of people get tripped up, is because they think that they put money on this big pedestal, because they think, when I have massive amounts of money, I'm going to unlock all of this for me. But no, the answer is in you. The answer is in your energy. If you can raise your vibration, I tell my clients in the beginning phases of finding abundance and receiving abundance is truly just a high vibe state. Like, in the beginning, that's the only proof you're going to have, is an increased mood, a high vibe state. And then that's when things just start magnetically being attracted to you. Like, so if you walked into a party and you saw somebody that had high vibe energy and it was making people laugh and standing out, you would want to go and stand and chat with that person also. And that's what happens, is when you raise your vibe, like magnetically, that money, those opportunities, you know, more opportunities to make money are literally just falling in your lap, because people want to be in your energy. People want to be in your vibe because they want to expand off of your vibration as well.
And money is just another form of energy. Mm-hmm. So like you said, when you start, that's such a great example, how people would gravitate towards you in a party, or you receive something else, or compliments, whatever it is. When we start to just see money as energy that is moving and flowing and that's being exchanged, and not from that pedestal, it's such a shift.
Yes.
It's about being magnetic and get that energy, not money necessarily.
Right. Seeing it as a tool versus, you know, like a god.
Yeah. And I love that you said receiving abundance. You said how, when it comes to receiving that abundance, Because that's another big thing. You also mentioned working, you know, sitting with your shadows, working on your shadows. And one that I feel also in my work with my clients that I feel is such a big, just a big resistance for most of us to overcome from conditioning, being females from past lives, and let's not even get there. But a big wound I feel collectively is towards receiving, especially as females, and how we allow ourselves to be supported, to receive. And when I can share from my experience something that is funny, but I can totally relate and I can see the effect. It sounds crazy, but I can see how it affects my bank account when I'm not delegating house tasks. When I get annoyed if my boyfriend is doing the dishes and I see that he's spilling water and making a mess and not doing it the way I want to, and I go, okay, never mind, better that I do it my way. I don't feel like if I hand it over, it will get done, or at least not well. And if he wants to help, I'm like, no, it's okay. And I'm not allowing myself to receive that support. I can feel it in my money.
Yes. You know, one of my friends, she's an energy healer, and she calls it turning on the faucet of receiving. So you, like so many people, especially women, you know, it's like they're just letting their faucet drip. And it's like not really opening up the full channel for the water to go through. And it's all about turning the faucet fully on. And the way that she describes it is by, like you said, you know, allowing yourself to receive help in the kitchen, or allowing somebody to give you something for free. Like so often, you know, we have so much pride. We're like, no, it's okay. But allowing ourselves to receive something for free, or somebody to give us a hand, or somebody to support us in some way. It doesn't have to be financially, but then you turn on that faucet full blast. Mm. And then the energy of receiving comes naturally.
And then you're receiving money as well, but you're not focused on money. You're focused on receiving.
Right. And so you're completely taking the pressure off. And that's why I said so many people apply so much resistance to the energy of money. And it's everywhere. It's being printed on a daily basis. It's not running out. It's not scarce. You know, so if you have that lack scarce mindset around money, you need to open up your faucet to receive in other ways to get comfortable with receiving.
Right. And to receive in other ways, that also being receiving in other shapes and forms than the one that you might have in mind, because that's letting go of control. And it's a conversation that I was having also recently with someone, how we sometimes set goals or money goals, and it's like, okay, I want to manifest this amount, but only if it comes through this person in that format, through this coaching program, and then you set your goals that it's going to be 3 members here, 5 members there. How much you're actually allowing that money to flow to your into your experience if you're so fixated in the house, how it's going to come to you. And then you might have another stream, unexpected, wanting to bring you that money, and you're like energetically, nope, thanks, it's just like this, otherwise I don't want it.
Yes. And that is where so many people get tripped up, you know, because we're used to trying to control everything versus just trusting and surrendering. And again, like I always say, it's like messy, massive action, inspired action, but pivoting and allowing yourself to be flexible, right? So I like to give the example of a story that happened to me. I studied business and marketing in college. And when I graduated with my degree, I just felt like I needed to get my foot in the door somewhere. So I applied at the hospital for this, I think it was like an administrative assistant position to the marketing department. And it was paying $35,000 a year. And they had 3 rounds of interviews. And I made it to the last round. It was just me and one other person. And then they called me and told me they chose the other person. And I was so brokenhearted. I was so torn up inside. Like, I felt like a failure. And then a few days later, literally, I found this opportunity that I applied to. And I went in for the interview. And the next day, they said, you're too overqualified for this. We actually want you to come back in. We want to talk to you about a different opportunity. And that is when I wound up making my first six figures at a very, very young age. But had I gotten that $35,000 job, never been open to receive the, you know, six figure a year job.
That's crazy. Yeah. And it's again with money, with like everything else, and a lot of things that we discuss in the podcast, that it comes down to detaching from the physical perspective that can only see so far. It can only see the physical evidence, the physical proof of what you have right in front of you, tangible right now. And it feels like the end of the world. And you only have this offer right now. You don't, maybe tomorrow you have something better, but right now, this is what I can see and touch. So you get so caught up. And as soon as you detach from that and you trust that there's a higher vision, there's a higher level of consciousness where things make sense, even though your logical mind right now might not grasp, then you let go of control. You feel supported and this type of thing happen. It's amazing.
Yes, yes. And, you know, we have the reticular activating system in our brains that it's responsible for several things. But one of the biggest things is it kind of formulates our wants in a to-do list. So if we visualizing something that we want, the reticular activating system puts it on a checklist, and it wants to check everything off of our checklist. So what that does is then it's seeking the path of least resistance to get us there. And then so often we're in our conscious mind trying to, you know, like you said, control things, not knowing that our unconscious mind already knows how to get us there.
We actually have all of that in us already. Encoded, and it's your higher consciousness, and your higher self is just yourself in higher levels of consciousness, but it is you. When you take that also off the pedestal, I feel like money as the way you see money, but also that higher vision, the answers, that consciousness, your higher self, the one that knows. And when you realize that, hold on, I actually have that already. It's something that can be activated and leveraged at any time.
Yes, yes. Realizing that it's okay to not have the details. You know, I feel like so many people get tripped up, like even just this. It's like so many people get tripped up because they're like, well, I have to do this before I put myself out there, and I have to do that before I put myself out there. But realizing it's the people who focus on the higher vision, on the bigger end result versus the little details. Like those are the people that are getting, they're quantum leaping.
Yeah. And it's that trust that when you're aligned, vibrationally speaking, when you're a match with that higher vision, the house are not your job. Mm-hmm. They never are. But again, it's just that shifting perspective. The house will be in your experience if you're looking at it from that physical perspective. Physical you caught up in a situation, you can just see the house and the things and duality and the good and the bad and the physical steps. It just takes that shift and just remembering, really, right? Bringing your awareness to the fact that you are your higher self, and you have in the quantum soup of all realities and all outcomes already available, that money is already yours.
Yes.
So tuning into that reality is what shifts your current one.
Yeah. Stepping into that power and fully owning that. And I think this is where people, they're like, oh, wait, so I need to go and spend $5,000 on this Chanel bag that I want that I don't have the money for. No. It's in an attitude. It's in, you know, how you show up, the confidence, the approach. It's not going out and spending money. It's stepping into the shoes of how would that person address things? Are they showing up as the pro? Or are they showing up as the amateur? Because the pro shows up in a much different way than the amateur does.
Watching your language also, I feel like it's really important for this. We often say, oh, I'm trying to make this happen, or I'm trying to launch this without realizing. I'm trying to, are you showing up from that energy of I'm trying and I'm in the process and, or I'm there already?
Yes, I actually just had this conversation with a client. She was like, I'm trying. And I said, wait a minute, you're what? We already embodied the future you. You're not trying anything. And trying implies that there's a chance that it's not going to happen. So getting rid of that language that's limiting you. And so many people, it's like we spin our own webs and we all have our own downfalls, right? We spin our own webs of these limiting beliefs that we have. It's like we're so entangled in it, we don't see it. So it takes somebody on the outside to listen to us and say, well, wait a minute. Why are you telling yourself this? Why are you telling yourself that? That's why I tell people coaching is for everyone, no matter what stage you're in your business, in your life. Coaching is for everyone because you can look at somebody else and you can tell exactly where they're limiting themselves. But you are so stuck in your story that it's hard to tell where you're limiting yourself.
And I want to touch on something that is coming up right now, and I feel like it has to be addressed. So I'm gonna trust the poll. How do you see the shame around your, so let's say for the woman listening who wants to manifest money, is in the process of manifesting that goal, but right now is feeling stuck, and right now finances are not there, and you're not seeing the income, and you're not seeing the client, and you know that shame or guilt, and you feel really ashamed for being in the situation. How do you manage your vibration? Because we hear that it takes being in a high vibrational state, and you have to feel good and show up as that person. But when you feel like, oh, this sucks, or I'm a failure, how do you manage that current state and not neglect it? Like, still honor where you are and manage this, but still raising your vibration enough so you can attract the money you want.
Yeah, so the common misconception is that you have to be positive all the time, and that's BS. You're not going to be positive all the time. You're going to have fear show up. You're going to have doubt. So if you're having a moment of doubt and you're like, wait a minute, the clients aren't showing up, I'm not making money, I don't know what to do, reframing that in a sense of, okay, everything is happening for a reason. There's a lesson in this. What is the lesson behind this? And then looking at it from the perspective of, I'm at cause for everything. So how can I adjust my attitude, my energy naturally? What can I do to shift, pivot, and adjust? And all it takes is you realizing that you're, you know, in your own pity party in the moment, which we all have those moments and we all need them because we are meant to feel emotions, but realizing, okay, this is not serving me staying in this feeling. This is not serving me staying here. What is the next step? Maybe you jump in a cold shower. Maybe you dance to a song. Maybe you go out and treat yourself to a coffee and get out with a friend. Maybe you go, you know, sit with a book by the lake. And like whatever puts you in a position of just feeling happy and grateful, that's where you need to go. That's what you need to do. Because sitting in that pity party literally does nothing about changing your current circumstance. It's okay, this is where I'm at. I'm going to own this. Now, how do I get to point B from point A?
So presence. And taking what we might see as a failure, quote unquote, as feedback. Because that's what it is.
nothing is ever a failure. You know, we put so much pressure on this word of failure. People come to me and they're like, well, I'm scared to do this because what if I fail? The reality is you didn't fail. You're being redirected.
And actually, when we go back to that quantum perspective of everything is already happening, physically, you might just be focused at one point in space and time right now. So it feels like you're having this current reality when actually everything is there. Mm-hmm. So when you tune into that also, I mean, it makes no sense. This attachment or the guilt or the failure, even the what we call a failure, is just a part of the success that is already available. Not even the, you know, it's lessons that I needed to go through to then get to the success. It's no, success is already happening. You might just be seeing another chapter of it right now. Because we cannot tune into everything at once.
Yes.
Oh, I love this. I could talk about this for hours. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, for sharing your energy. I'm sure this will be super, super helpful.
Thank you. I loved chatting with you today.
And share with us where we can find you online.
So my website is manifestmadmoney.com. I'm on Instagram at manifestmadmoney. And I have a podcast, Manifest Mad Money. And then my Facebook group where I go in and do free live trainings is also Manifest Mad Money.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
I hope you loved today's episode. And if you did, please don't forget to take a minute and leave a star review or a comment on iTunes. I create this content from my soul to support yours. And this makes all the difference to help my message get out there and reach the people who need to listen. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for being here, and I'll see you in the next episode.